This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects, hour number two, 3 hour show.
What?
So, we're in the break.
I knew he wasn't going to get through it. He's going to have to.
Oh, no.
I knew it.
Because I had just got done telling you it's been a hell of a week.
By the way, people want to know whose feet are smaller, yours or Palillo's. That's not fair.
It's a push.
Nick Joel doesn't have. No.
No, yours are Charlie.
Yours are Charlie's. And I don't. What's that? You don't have small feet.
10 and a half.
Yeah, that's not small.
Joel, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, Joel, stop making up facts.
You were talking about. You brought it up because you were saying Trey doesn't have very big shoes to fill. So that's why the people are asking that on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, Nick. Barry over here.
Yeah.
Decides to drop a little knowledge on me during the break.
Huh? What?
That someone that doesn't. We were speaking about planters and nuts. Some people don't have any because they don't tag me on tweets, but they tag Barry to take shots at me over something that Barry said I didn't. Very, very interesting set of circumstances.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
So didn't you tell me during the break?
Nope. I didn't.
That there was a Yahoo out there.
Nope.
That decided to use some pretty derogatory terminology and telling me what I should do because I could be a Lions fan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
First of all, your dumbass doesn't listen to the show on a consistent enough basis to realize I'm a Packer fan, you idiot. And then on top of that...
You talking to me?
No. Well, me indirectly. But then to not even be able to tell us apart and to make a comment like that...
That's just stupid. I'm the one that sounds sexy. He's the one that sounds dumb. It's real easy to tell us apart. Sounds sexy. Joel sounds dumb. Easy. He did call you the P word. Called you kitty cat. Mm-hmm. He said, this is great. It's from Stacy. He said, tell Joel's ungrateful kitty cat he can always be a Lions fan. We can't win a division right now. I'll take 9-7 3 years in a row. So I know he meant it for me because I said I'm no longer a Texans fan, but he thought it was Joel.
His name's Stacy?
Wow.
Get the hell out of here. I mean, come on. Get your suspects right before you go decide to chime in and drop names like that.
I don't understand how you could.
Amos did it to me the other day. Not Angel Munoz, but the other guy.
But I don't understand how you would confuse
Angel?
Us.
I think we call him Angel or Angel.
Angel?
Angel.
We don't call him Angel?
Him Angel.
No.
Whatever. Munoz. Okay, but
hang on, I'll be back. I got to get a croissant.
Yeah. Comparable.
Wears it out.
It's comparable.
Wears it out.
No, but go continue because it's idiotic. Get your stuff straight.
Yeah, no, it happens all the time. I mean, Amos one time tagged me and was like, man, Tyler Scott is playing great music. At the producer, Nick should take notes. Little did he know that the music he was playing was mine.
Your list for way back Wednesday?
Yeah, just it happens all the time.
That was the best. That's when you were out. He was filling in for you. That was outstanding. Gotta love it. People getting confused and calling Joel the P word on Twitter. I'm just going to retweet that. I'm just going to retweet it right now. I just retweeted it.
I see you're in rare form, though.
What?
So someone finally caught up to the lists from way back Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
His name's Matt.
Yeah.
And he basically said, Nick is first.
Yeah.
No points for second. If you're not first, you're last. Doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning. And I said, thanks, Bob.
Phil O'Brien.
And he went, can you fill me in here? And I don't know what you mean by Bob. So I just said Bill O'Brien, but I was trying to be nice. His name's Matt, by the way. I want to emphasize that again because you responded, hey, Nat.
Yeah, that's a typo. The M's next to the N. I was in a hurry. What are you going
to
do?
You weren't in a hurry enough next time just S Nick's D.
Okay, I said
it'll
that.
Be faster.
I took it to the extreme. Man.
I did say, well, I mean, that's all. If you were to use, you know how sometimes on like a Mac, if you can't see, you can have it play the words for you. So, like, if I had the tweet that was like, hey, Nick, what's up? If I can't see that tweet because I'm visually impaired, the Mac would be like, hey, Nick, what's up? Like, it would use the computer voice and do that. If you did that for his tweet, it would have just sounded like this. Nick's list. Like, it was like, bro, come on. Like, and just SSD next time. It's faster. That's all I said. I was just...
It really wasn't that... He said...
Yeah, no, it was.
Producer Nick is first, yeah. And then there are no points for second place.
And then he had a whole diatribe place. About second place. Get over it.
It was a movie reference.
It was a terrible list.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Stacy. Have a nice day. Did you know that Barry has the new cat named Oliver? We could pair you guys up for a day. You guys could play. It'd be nice. It'd be special. So with that being said, Rockets tonight, no Luka Doncic, but we are on the final day in which the calendar turns over.
Yes.
Where are we in terms of your prognostication?
It's not looking good.
Not looking as good as you thought it was going to.
Well, they're a game out. If they lose and OKC wins, then they're tied for six, which means there is no seven.
So you could win on a technicality.
Seven. Yeah, they would be.
You could win on a technicality.
They would assume sixth and seventh place being tied. So there would only be one team worse than them in the West in the playoff hunt. So
Memphis,
technically,
is Memphis. Eighth spot?
Technically, it would have been my prediction would have came true. They would be sharing the seventh spot.
How good are the Mavs without Luka?
Not very
good enough to beat the Rockets.
I don't think so. I don't think
really. And yeah. you didn't think what was it? Who did they just lose to?
Who'd they lose to? They beat Minnesota. They lost to Denver. They lost to Portland.
No, because you even made the joke if they want to beat the Mavs, they need
lost to
sit.
Utah.
No. They just got trounced by a couple of bad teams.
Who did?
The Rockets.
I just told you who their last four games were against. They beat Utah. I mean, they beat Utah without any of their starters. They lost to Portland. They lost to Denver. They beat Minnesota. Four game trip.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Never mind. I've lost the whole train of thought. Forget it.
The fact that they lost games with all three or with their three best players in their starting lineup playing, and won a game without any of them on the court sitting out is disturbing.
Yeah, I was thinking of the two Thunder games and the Grizzlies game. That's what I was thinking of. Okay, they were fully capable of losing to those teams. They're fully capable of losing to the Mavs without Luka Doncic.
Dallas has got a lot of problems. They lost Powell, too. They traded for Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, Porzingis is in and out of the lineup with an injured knee. But look, I mean, stranger things have happened. The Rockets went into Salt Lake City, like I said, and won without Harden, Westbrook, and Capella. Capella's not going to play again tonight. They're saying it's the heel injury flaring up. I don't know what the hell's going on with that. But I heard enough people out there talking about, why is everybody so critical of this Rockets team? They're only two games off of last season. They've had so many injuries. Stop it. Okay? Just look at the team as a whole.
If you can't see why, then you're not watching.
Man, if you don't know that they're lacking shooters, if you don't know that their best players hog the ball and it doesn't allow their role players to get involved, nothing could be clearer than when watching that Utah game and watching their two best players sit out, a team excel by moving the basketball, by sharing the rock, getting everybody involved, having multiple guys have big nights like Austin Rivers. Eric Gordon had 50, and yet everybody else was still involved. Daniel House and Austin Rivers, big, big roles in those games. Didn't happen when they lost to Portland. Didn't happen when James Harden, who's been struggling mightily, and don't tell me about his thigh injury, okay? This is a guy that never sits out, and there's been plenty of times he's had severe injuries and done more than what he's been able to do lately. He's struggling mentally because he can't make the three. No one shoots more threes at a lower percentage, maybe, than James Harden at the volume he shoots him.
I heard AJ say that today. I don't believe that's true.
Westbrook has scaled it way back.
I don't believe that to be true.
Overall, for the amount of minutes played and shots taken from three, Russell Westbrook is the worst three-point shooter in the history of the league.
I'm just saying, just three-point percentage-wise.
He literally is shooting about 20% for his career from three. But you know what? To his credit, lately he scaled it back. James ain't scaling it back because what's James known for? Step-back threes. Got to shoot the step-back threes, sidestep threes. Got to shoot all those threes. Not making them. It's a problem.
He said Harden was in the, like, what, 80-something in the league in three-point percentage?
No.
No.
No way.
So what 80, he said.
80-something.
He did not say
this. No, he said he's terrible for the amount of the volume of threes he's shooting, that he's terrible.
Okay, well, first of all, you both didn't have to jump on me like that. Second of all, what is Harden shooting for the year?
Do probably 30-something, 35, 33.
Who's the numbers guy on this show? Okay, well, then why don't you tell
James us? Harden is 95th in three-point percentage in the NBA right now. 95th at 35.5%.
Well, anything over 33% from three is good.
There are 94 people shooting a better three-point percentage than James Harden.
I mean, AJ's just on record as hating James Harden.
Yeah. P.J. Tucker shoots a better percentage than James Harden. And I think his point was, why is James Harden taking all those shots if he's close to the 100th best three-point shooter in the league? Some of that, though, you have to look at how many shots are they taking a game, because there's guys that take one or two three-point shots a game, or they average two or three three-point shots a game, so their percentages could be a bit skewed.
If P.J. Tucker took as many shots as James Harden, he'd have like a 20-something percent.
Yeah, James averages almost 13 three-point shots a game.
Yeah.
And he makes 35% of them.
Yeah.
And that's the Rockets' offense, and that's the answer to the question, why does a guy that's close to 100th in the league in percentage take so many shots? Because that's the Rockets' offense. So, I mean, I'm not going to blame you for that. My problem is I just want to see him get more people involved. I don't have a problem with him shooting the three.
PJ's the heart and soul of this team, and he needs to be getting the ball more. I just want to let you know that.
Okay, you haven't mentioned that yet.
No, and I really believe firmly in his ability to be.
I feel like that's slowly going to fade for you.
Never going to die.
I feel like that's slowly going to be like he's going to start backing off of that, and then he's going to be like, Nick, me and Barry tried to tell you PJ Tucker wasn't the heart and soul of this team. I feel like as he continues to not play well, which he's not doing.
I keep telling you, though, it's not just about stats alone. And I get it, but, you know, and whether...
Don't look, be like I'm, the fans and, not, and talk I, about injuries because you keep bringing the up the stinger.
No, I'm not saying I'm buying the stinger. But I'm saying there's something to be said, too, about how many times you touch the ball when you're expected to make shots. When you get the ball with 5 seconds or less on the shot clock because it didn't go right for you and you were trying to dribble it out and go one-on-one, and then you don't want that bad shot going on your shooting percentage, so you dump it off to a teammate with 5 seconds on the clock and go, here, do something with it. That's a problem that they continue to have if you watch this team. They run too many ISOs in which Harden and Westbrook, to some degree, have the ball in their hands for too long, and then they dump it to somebody with a handful of seconds on the clock and go, here, make it happen. It's tough.
Yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge is 10th in the NBA in three-point percentage. All clear about these numbers. 10th in the NBA, making 42.9% of his shots, which ties him with Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver and LaMarcus Aldridge are the same player.
I think Kyle Korver was drafted in the lower third of of the rounds of the draft.
Here we go with this.
But I'm not sure.
Now I'm going to get angry.
We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It was rough growing up single parent, man, because I'm going to tell you something. My father, the divorce was so bad that my father couldn't even come to the house to pick us up. My mother didn't want him at the house. Tell your daddy to meet me at McDonald's at 4:30. Like we were some kind of drug deal or something. And the wild part about it is, man, my father used to say something to me that I never understood until I got older. But my father used to say the same thing to me every time he dropped me off. He'd be like, hey, 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 come here, Dez. You had fun with daddy today? All right. We cool? All right. Check this out. When you go in the house, don't you tell your mama where I live. I was 5. I'm like, yeah, all right, Pop. But every time he dropped me off, he'd be like, hey, 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 come here, Dad. You had fun with Daddy today?
It's Dez White.
That is great.
Barry was telling us about him earlier in the show. If you missed any of it, please go back and check the podcast. Funny dude. Got another clip coming up at 3:15. You just recently met him, but you have
I've heard about him for a while. Yeah, he does a lot in town. He's out in L.A. You can catch, if you listen to any of the comedy channels on SiriusXM satellite radio, you'll probably hear him doing a bit at least once or twice, especially on Kevin Hart's channel. He was also on Kevin Hart's One Mic Stand. So on Twitter, at It's Dez White, if you enjoy his clips.
There you go. And so far, I have enjoyed them, so I'll look forward to the one at 3:15. Also, a big football game coming up Sunday night.
You don't
it
say.
It is the Super Bowl. You it is something say. That has kind of really played backseat to all the Kobe Bryant news all week long.
Yeah, it really has. It doesn't feel like there's been a lot of fanfare about the Super Bowl.
And kudos to the NFL for being able to accept that.
I would agree with that. That's an astute observation.
Yeah, and not only just to accept it, but to support it, because you've seen in Miami and on the scoreboard in the whatever building they held, I think it was in Marlins Stadium, when they held media night, that it the tributes were still up to Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
That they realized this is bigger than just marketing their sport. This is a big, big deal. And so kudos to the NFL for being able to do that and see that and be perceptive enough. But we do have a big football game.
We do.
And one of the things that someone asked me about this morning that was easy for me to say was like, you know, there's so many people that don't care about this football game. And I was like, really? I was like, because you know what? At the end of the day, unless your team is in it, the one thing that you really care about is you want to see a good game. You want to see good football. You want to be entertaining and exciting. But the thing is, you'd like to see the two best teams. I'm pretty sure, obviously, the Ravens would have something to say about that. There might be a team in the NFC that thinks they have something to say about that. But I think overall, based on how the season played out start to finish, I think you got what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm looking forward to the football
game.
These
are two good football. Nobody, no wild card. You know, if the Eagles were in the Super Bowl right now because they just got hot and snuck in to the playoffs, and it would be a boring Super Bowl. But you've got Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid, and I really want to see Andy Reid get a Super Bowl win. I really do. I love Andy Reid. Andy Reid has given us the best moment in football history belongs to Andy Reid. And he has provided that to us, so I think he deserves the opportunity to win a Super Bowl, first of all. And then you got the Niners and Kyle Shanahan and, you know, Garoppolo and Nick Bosa, and you've got an outstanding defense, an exciting run game, and a guy in Garoppolo who I think has been underrated. You weren't a big Garoppolo fan. You kept expecting the Niners to fall off, and rightfully so, most of the year because of who their quarterback was. He played within the system, but when you hear some of the stats about Garoppolo and crunch time and when they're behind and game-winning drives and stuff, it's pretty astounding what he was able to do. So I do think that we got two really good football teams, two evenly matched football teams, and I think it's going to be a fun Super Bowl.
I do too. I think you got the best defense, and I think arguably the best offense.
That Ravens offense was pretty good.
It was, but they're not there. And they didn't win at the right time when they were supposed to win, when the lights are the brightest. Okay, so we got these two teams. So the reason I say that is to say this. I think it's going to come down to a lot of side factors. Like, so the can the Chiefs' defense be more effective than the Niners' offense? Because each team playing with their strong suit, we know what they can do. But we know that the Chiefs' defense has been, I mean, people have been much maligned throughout the season, but they came on late. Look what they did to be able to stop a guy like Derrick Henry, you know, when they had to in the playoffs. They're playing better football. From an offensive perspective, look, when you steamroll the Packers like the Niners did, Jimmy G didn't have to throw the football. But this is his first foray into the playoffs. And so we have yet to see when he has to make big throws or make a big drive, because they've had big leads on just about anybody that they've played. How does he react?
To me, this comes down to the two defenses. I think we both know what they're going to do offensively. I think if you're the Chiefs, you have to decide. I mean, I think we know they're going to load the box, try to stop the run, and just make the Niners and Garoppolo
make Jimmy throw it.
Right. But I think the question becomes, what are you going to do with Tyrann Mathieu? What are you going to do? Are you going to load the box with him to be a run stopper? Or are you going to let him guard
Kittle?
Are you going to put him back in a single high safety? I mean, that to me, that's going to be the key. How well does Tyrann Mathieu play and fit into the scheme of what the Chiefs decide to do against the 49ers? And I think on the flip side, the 49ers have to decide, are they going to try and drop as many people in coverage? Or are they going to, and just hopefully see, you know, hope that Nick Bosa gets to Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes doesn't escape because we know how good he is when he's out of the pocket and able to make plays? Or are you going to make sure you're going to have somebody spy Patrick Mahomes and maybe not have as many people back in coverage? To me, that's where this game is going to be won or lost on either side, because we know, like you said, what they both can do offensively.
You know, I think there's a lot of factors that factor into how this game is decided. I think one of them is, are the Niners going to be effective in taking those four first-round picks on the front line and just being able to rush four? If they can rush four and they can drop everybody back in coverage to try and make up for the lack of speed and what they're dealing with in terms of how prolific the offense can be, including Travis Kelce and the burners, all those other things involved in it. If they can just, if they can be effective making Mahomes uncomfortable and only have to rush their front four, Chiefs are in big trouble.
All right, that's I agree 100%. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Do you spy? Do you everybody you have not on that front four drop into coverage? What do you what that defense does is going to dictate on both sides. What both of these defenses do is really going to have the material effect on this team. I know a lot of people want to say, well, that's the Chiefs offense. I disagree. It's that Niners defense.
Well, and I think you mentioned another good point. Not only can they rush the quarterback, but can they just with the front four, can they maintain their edges and can they control keeping Patrick Mahomes in the pocket? Because look, whether you say he's a speed burner or not, which we know he's not, we know how effective he's been running the football when he picks his spots now that he's healthy. And that's something that the Niners front four is going to have to worry about. Normally, it's a front seven. If they can do it with their front four, who have been just absolutely dominant, they have a huge advantage. And if you look on the flip side of the coin, look, yeah, you're right. The Chiefs, who haven't been stellar all year defensively, but they've picked it up consistently and got better and better till they got to this point in the season. But we saw that the Niners have been run focused because essentially, why would you go away from it? If you can't stop it defensively, then why would I stop doing it if I'm Kyle Shanahan? But if they are able to at least kind of curtail it and get a grasp on it, how well are the Niners going to be? How effective can they be throwing the football?
So who you got?
I want the Chiefs to win. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win. But I'm looking forward to what should be hopefully a stellar Super Bowl. I don't have a spreadsheet. I'm not going to break down it quarter by quarter.
Yeah.
I don't have color laminated tabs on my.
You're making fun of me. Keep
going.
Well,
I am.
Yeah,
but I'm taking the Chiefs.
Keep going.
You can
make fun of me all you want.
I can. Nick can't. Just remember that.
Why not?
Why can't Nick?
Because there's a rule,
bro. He literally makes fun of me
every day,
every show.
But we're brothers now. We're on the same team.
Oh, that is true. You shut your whore mouth, Nicholas.
What is this brother crap that you're talking about?
You shut up when you talk to us.
Okay.
What's that saying? Who was that? What
Wedding
movie was
Crashers,
that from?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. I love that movie.
That's so great. That and Nobody Makes Me Bleed My Own Blood, which was
Robert
Zoolander?
Downing Jr.
No, it was Zoolander.
Oh, it was Zoolander.
No, it wasn't Zoolander. Was it Dodgeball or Zoolander?
I don't remember.
It was.
Now you've confused me.
It's the guy that was Zoolander. What was his name?
Ben Stiller.
He's the one that said it, but now I don't remember. I think it was Zoolander. Nobody Makes Me
it
Bleed My
Stiller
Own Blood.
It was Ben Stiller who said it, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he got punched in the mouth in Zoolander. I think.
You're an old. You don't really remember.
Oh, my God. Now you sound like you're. Yeah. Now you sound like the Blitz. You're an old.
Yeah.
You're just going to steal from the Blitz now.
I didn't know the Blitz would even say that.
Don't they say it all the time?
Who says that?
Both of them.
Do they really?
Yeah. They say you're an old, you're a poor, you're a rich. They just leave words out. That's how old people talk, I guess, now. I don't know. That's like old people hip slang. I have no idea. And not like hip, like, you know, they'll break their hip, which AJ's pretty close. He's getting old. But I if I didn't look at all my laminated spreadsheets with all the pretty colors and charts and everything, I probably would have chosen the Chiefs. Niners by a point. I mean, that's what I have. And
what's
when we
the
come
spread?
Back, 1.5. Okay. And honest to God, and I'm not making this up. I can show you. I can show you my work on my math. But literally, the spreadsheet that I have says Niners 24.5 points. Kansas City Chiefs 23.8. It's that close of a game. I have Niners by one, basically. If you round up, it's 25-24. That's an odd score that probably doesn't happen, but I still could see, you know, 31-30, 28-27, whatever. But 25-24 is what this says.
Ron Culver, by the way, says it was Dodgeball. I don't know if that's correct.
Dodgeball. Okay.
Yeah.
Ron Culver's an old.
The executive producer of
Everybody's an old,
SB right? Nation Radio. He is kind of old, isn't he?
Is he? How old do you think he is?
I mean, he's got kids, so he's got to be old. Joel's old. He's got kids. So.
Anyone with kids is old. I do agree with you on that.
If you got kids, you're 100%. Old.
Kiss my old ass. How about that? How about that?
See?
All of it.
Cranky old man.
Left cheek, right cheek.
Someone didn't get their nap today.
Who, Stacy? He's still in Detroit hoping for a championship. It's going to happen sooner or later.
So mean.
Someday we'll find it. The Rainbow so Connection. Mean. Yay, team! We'll be back with the second half. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here comes the second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're coming to you live from the Gal Media Studios, not from Radio Row, but when we find a really, really good interview that is very pertinent to people in Houston, Texas, our people there, mainly Cody Stutes and Jake Asman from SB Nation Radio, were able to pull it, send it to us, and we were able to relay it to you. If you missed any of that, go to ESPN975.com. On the front page, you'll see up on the tab at the top, Usual Suspects. Click on that. You'll be able to catch up on what you missed. And you'll get that great interview, amongst other things. So we have a second half to go. And we were talking a little bit about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave your pick. I gave mine. Nick, I'm curious just from your standpoint, because you're going to be in the betting capital of the world. You're going to be, again, shunning your duties for a Monday so that you can just enjoy the extravaganza that is Super Bowl weekend in Vegas. Your take on what you expect to see in this game on Sunday night?
I'm not as, you know, prepped as Barry, and I'm not taking a shot at you, so I don't have a score, but I do have a pick. I like the Chiefs. And one stat that I did think was pretty interesting to kind of go against my argument was the fact that I didn't know the Niners had 57 sacks, regular season and playoffs included. So I think there is a potential chance that you can make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable, but ultimately I don't think it's really going to make him uncomfortable enough to lose this game, and that's why I'm picking the Chiefs. I have this unbelievable belief in Patrick Mahomes. They have an unbelievable they have a deep front four, the 49ers, and they do really, really good with pass rushing, and I think in most cases they'll have their way. I don't see it in this game. I just don't.
Cool. So you guys are on the Chiefs.
I am.
Do you think it's a close game or a blowout?
I think it's a close game.
Okay. And you think it's a blowout, Joel?
I think it's a close game. Okay. I think it's going to be a close game. I hope it's a close game. Because, again, like I said, for most of America, if you're not a fan of the Niners or the Chiefs, you're just hoping for a very entertaining, high-scoring, great game. I don't know how high-scoring. It depends on, you know, who wins out. Like you said, I mean, if the Niners' defense wins out, you might be, you know, grossly disappointed.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that again, because in the previous segment you were talking about, we know that the Niners have a great defense and we know that the Chiefs have a great offense and we know what they're both capable of on both sides of the ball. And as you guys know, I always crunch the numbers, especially in a game like this. And I always do comparables between the two teams, especially for a game like this. So I'm just going to read you some numbers from different categories, and you tell me who you think has the better numbers. Okay? So points scored, 29.9, 28.2. Who do you think had the 29.9 points scored?
So you always set us up for these.
Yeah, me too. I feel like with the way you asked, I'm going to say the Niners had the 29.
They were second in the NFL in scoring. The Chiefs were fifth. Niners had averaged almost 30 points a game, 29.9.
That means we know you too well, because had you asked exactly it differently, right, I would have probably said Chiefs.
Correct.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of the point. So let's go to passing yards. One team threw for 281.1 yards. One team threw for 237 yards. Who do you think had the higher passing yards per game?
Chiefs.
I'm going to say Niners.
Chiefs.
Okay.
Points allowed per game. One team allowed 19.2. One team allowed 19.4. It tells you how close they are. Who do you think allowed less points per game?
Push.
19.4 for the Chiefs.
Nope.
Nope, Niners. I knew that.
The Chiefs allowed less points per game by 0.2 over the course of the season. But I think what, to me, from that stat, what's most surprising is that the Chiefs were the seventh best defense in points allowed per game in the NFL. A lot of people would tell you that Chiefs defense didn't get great till the second half, and they did the... Bro, over the course of a 17-week season, they were seventh in the NFL in points allowed. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Better than the Niners by 0.2 points a game. So push. but pretty close. Yards per game, 381.1 versus 379.2. The takeaway here, by the way, is they're pretty much equal yards per game offensively. But who do you think had the higher yards per game average?
Chiefs again.
Niners.
Niners. Yeah, 381.1 yards a game for the Niners. Okay, let's go defensively yards per game allowed.
I'm done playing this damn game.
349
to spelling.
349 to 281. Who allowed more yards per game defensively? 349 to 281.
I believe the Chiefs allowed more.
I'm going to copy Joel. I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
All right.
And it wasn't even close. The Niners were second best
in
the
NFL. Jump on
board,
baby. We got room on the bandwagon. Come on.
I mean, rushing yards, you're going to get that. That's a pretty easy one. It wasn't even close. Niners rushed for 144 yards a game.
By the way,
Chiefs for 98.
Speaking of that,
not even
close.
Can
I amaze all of you? Do you know who
I
saw?
I doubt you will,
but
okay.
Do you know who I saw in uniform participating in Chiefs practice? LeSean McCoy.
Oh, nice.
Where has he been?
Yeah. They've been saving him for the Super Bowl.
Good Lord, he's been like Houdini. He disappeared so fast. And all of a sudden, I see him right there next to Mahomes.
But
I go, is he going to play?
I'll spare you the rest of them, but here's the takeaway from this. What was that about?
Trey, I just don't. He's making some faces like he's completely like.
He's just listening.
On a
just
different
leave
planet
alone.
All day.
I'll spare you the details of the rest of the rankings, but the Chiefs won statistically in three categories total of the ones I did. And I did points scored and allowed, yards per game allowed, passing yards allowed, rush yards allowed, sacks and turnovers. The Chiefs were better in a total of three of those categories. And that was passing yards per game, points allowed per game, and turnovers. They were a plus eight versus Niners plus four. Otherwise, statistically, San Francisco dominates in every other category. I mean, and I say dominates by the overall winning more categories. Pretty crazy. And I would have never guessed that before I broke it down. But then I was like, wow, this is really weird.
So you got all the numbers part of it, right? But do you not see...
That was 10 categories. Chiefs are better in three.
How do you... Okay, but what about the intangibles? What about the fact that, like I said, Garoppolo's never been in the Super Bowl, but he's also
never... Holmes has, though, so that's good, right?
Can I finish? God.
Just saying.
And in his first playoffs, he's really not been pushed. They've had huge leads. They've basically been out in front. I mean, Mahomes had one hell of a game that he had to get through last year against New England. Win or lose, he did his part. So he's been pushed. I mean, someone made... I think Max Kellerman said it, and I was like, no, that can't be true. And then I went and looked at it. Really, since he's been a pro, he hasn't had one bad game. He hasn't had that one hiccup yet where he's just completely crapped the bed. So you look at all the numbers that you said, and then I start... That's one of the intangibles I consider. Jimmy G's never been there, done that.
Neither is Mahomes, though.
But I feel like Mahomes is more seasoned in terms of his experience than Jimmy G.
So what are you saying?
Jimmy G went to some... Didn't he go to some Super Bowls when he was the backup to Tom Brady? So he's been to Super Bowls. He's gone through this week. He knows
what he's
doing.
Well, then me and Jimmy G are on the same page because I've been to Super Bowls too, and we both watched them.
But I'm saying preparation.
I just didn't have a clipboard.
I'm saying preparation, dealing with the media and all that stuff. At least he went through it.
Okay.
Is that not, I mean, and maybe I'm misspeaking. Maybe they didn't go to a Super Bowl when Jimmy G was there.
No, but
I'm pretty sure.
Are you saying? Are you saying one team passes the eye test more than the other? Is what you're saying?
Me?
I'm just asking in general.
I didn't say that.
I'm just asking you. I'm not questioning you.
I mean, I test you. Look at the Chiefs, and I think that because they have the sexy offense, as you look at it, and Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Tyreek Hill, and you're like, oh, Travis Kelce, you're like, wow, yeah, look at that. But I think there's a lot to the San Francisco team. Remember, I just told you, they were second highest scoring offense in the league because they can run the ball. And everybody sleeps on that because it's not sexy. They've got four guys that can run the ball. They can literally run you to death.
What about you, Joel? Do you think they pass the... Who passes the eye test? We won't ask A.J. Hoffman to apply the eye test, but what do you think, Joel?
Inside joke. I think overall, I think they both do because it's like I said, I think the Chiefs offense obviously passes the eye test. But I don't know how you can like look away from the Niners defense in that front four and just... And you still have Richard Sherman on one corner. And look, all their other D-backs have stepped up. Their linebackers are aggressive as hell. And boy... They can hit. They can cover. I just think their whole defense is extremely impressive to the eye test. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
You think Richard Sherman still has it?
I do. I hate to say it because I've hated him when he was with the Seahawks and everything, but just watching the way he still plays the game and he still takes on the challenge on every play, not just on the receiver, the best receiver being on his side, I really do.
I feel
think
like
still
that
got it.
When you watched him towards the end of the season, it felt like that, but I don't remember who it was on this station, but they were like, that guy can't play man coverage. You got the Niners have to play zone in order for Richard Sherman to be effective. And I was like, really? I felt like that was different, but I don't know. I wanted to kind of go and look up his grade on, like, Pro Football Focus and see how he graded out versus the others. And because it felt like he was good all year. It felt like he held his own. So when I heard that, I don't remember if it was Charlie or Granato or who said it, but somebody was talking about the fact that they had to run zone in order to help Richard Sherman. So maybe I'll look up his rating of Pro Football Focus. Maybe they were right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there you go. We're rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show. Plenty more on the Super Bowl and other things. The reserves were named for the NBA All-Star game, and you have another All-Star Houston, as well as some snubs that we kind of pointed out. So there's that on the agenda and a whole lot more. We got the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on an FEF Friday. F for football, as we were just wrapping up some thoughts about the Super Bowl, as well as F for being funny, F for being friendly, because that's what we always are, including our loyal suspects and listeners.
Chan got you good.
I loved it. I have no problem with it, because I was taunting Nick because I got every question right, and he was crapping
all
over himself.
You did, but you kind of knew the...
I didn't.
I got to find a better way of masking and disguising those questions because you knew the game. So you knew that if I
sell
asked
me short
you
and just can't just say, you know what, Joel, you were on your game, you nailed it. Instead, you always got to look for some little, like, you always accuse me of cheating and looking at somewhere and looking something up.
That's
when
why
you
keep your laptop turned like that because
no,
you don't want me to see
no,
your
screen.
No, that's
not true. I don't want you to see the porn.
No, that's totally true. Okay. And I mean, right now, you are really crying a lot. Yeah, no, you did well though. But did you not find that a bit surprising? Who was better at certain things than others?
Yeah, I think simply because of the fact that people have crapped all over the Chiefs defense all year. Yep. Because going into the offseason too, they traded away so many of their good players. Yeah, they brought in the Honey Badger, but you know, they made a lot of moves for people to think that they got worse, not better, but they have gotten progressively better throughout the year. And the other thing that people forget is when they were trying to stay afloat when Mahomes got hurt and missed time, defense did their part.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I mean, you guys know where my heart lies, except for Stacey. And so I don't have a dog in the fight.
Well, but you hate Kyle Shanahan. So that's
and I do.
Your
true, and I haven't shied
personal,
away from that either.
No, you've admitted it freely.
It's Joel, by the way, if you can't decipher that.
Yeah, that's not Barry. Yeah. Doesn't hate Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
Yeah, I don't.
But you know what? And here's the other thing. You bring up Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's saying, look, there's the chance, and you mentioned Andy Reid earlier as well. They're talking about the redemption Super Bowl because one of these coaches is going to come out basically cementing their legacy. And in the case of Andy Reid, if he wins this thing, they're saying now he's definitely going to be a Super Bowl coach. He might be ranked up as high as like second or third behind Belichick because of how prolific his offenses have been, and the only thing that's escaped him is winning the big game. And of course, with Shanahan, this would allow him to erase the memory of 28-3. You know, every time I think about that, how could you possibly ever erase that memory from your head? You think it's bad if you're Bill O'Brien trying to erase the memory of giving up a 24-point lead, right? But in the biggest game on the biggest stage where, you know, we heard from DeAndre Hopkins talking about, were you guys thinking about having the conference championship? Heck yeah, they were thinking about it, right? You're up 28-3 in the second half, late in the third quarter against the Patriots, or in the third quarter against the Patriots. All you got to do is control the clock, run the football. You win the game.
Is that true?
Oh my God, yes.
Is that true, though?
Absolutely true.
I mean, turnovers happen even if you run the ball. Defenses get stops and call timeouts.
I want to say, and I want to give the right person credit.
So we're not going to blame the defense for the collapse? It's going to be Kyle Shanahan?
Oh, Barry.
He got him 28 points. Is that not enough to win a Super Bowl?
Statistically, and I don't know who referenced it, but statistically, they said that all the Falcons had to do in the second half was get 2 first downs total.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
And they'd have won the game.
An entire quarter is 15 minutes.
I get that.
You're going to tell me 2 first downs in a 15-minute quarter wins the game?
I want to say Charlie said that on his show today.
Well, Charlie is a dead-ass liar. That is not true.
But I don't know. But all I know is...
That's not how math works.
In all circles of football,
that's not
how math works. If Kyle Shanahan would have just... Barry, you're so far behind... I would like to see the point in the clock in which they still had the 28-3 lead.
Great. You're not gonna blame the defense.
Telling me it wasn't Kyle Shanahan's fault that the Falcons didn't win that Super Bowl.
He got them 28. He spotted the defense 28 points and it wasn't enough. In the Super Bowl? Yeah, I don't think Kyle Shanahan is the first person to get the blame for it.
Oh my God, Barry.
I realize you don't like the guy.
Take that out of it. Just take the football
and
put it
like
in.
It's just like the first person to blame for the Texans debacle against the Chiefs is Romeo Crennel. Bill O'Brien goes,
Barry,
here you go,
if you're
Rack,
the offensive
here's
coordinator,
24 points. And Rack was like, well, damn, we don't need that. Let's give him 50.
You got a 28-3 lead, and you run the ball 3 more times the rest of the game, and all you got to do is run the ball.
Dude, stop saying that. That's physically impossible. That's not how time works. There's no way you run for 3 first downs, and that's it. That's ball game.
I didn't say anything about first downs right there.
You don't need to run the ball three more times.
Barry, I said all he did. Look at the stats. He only ran the football 3 more times the rest of the game.
Oh, I thought you said you
all
had
you
to
had
run it
to
three
do
more
was
times.
Run the football. You win the game.
Agree with that. Agree with that. I
so,
do agree.
Regardless of what Charlie
and
stats
all
said
you had
not,
to do was
but
get
you're
stops
telling me
defensively.
That's not on Kyle Shanahan?
No. All you had to do was get stops defensively and you win the game.
Let us know what you think. 713-780-3776.
Who lost the game for the Texans 24-0 to the Chiefs?
Let us know what you think of who lost the game between the Patriots and the Chiefs. Let us know what your thoughts are on the Super Bowl this year between the Chiefs and the 49ers. No,
well,
but I'd like,
really
to, I'd like to delve
this
deeper
I like
into
it.
The 28-3 debacle that was the Atlanta Falcons here in Houston, Texas against
the New
England
Patriots.
Because
most people are going to come in and say that they think it was Kyle Shanahan's fault, but
I think that's ridiculous. I don't care what they think.
Why are you asking them to call?
If they want to get in on the show.
I guarantee you most people are going to agree with you. But I
that
think
falls
it's
on Kyle Shanahan.
I think it's stupid that – does Kyle Shanahan call defensive plays? Does he play defense? Was he out there giving
up? No, he calls offense and he didn't run the football.
Okay. Doesn't matter. Stop him, defense. You had 28 points that your offense spotted you. Just like the Texans, 24 points. You had a 24-0 lead and your defense, right in the bed. Right in the bed. That's a defensive issue. Forget going for it on fourth down and punts and all that. Still, Romeo Crennel, that's the reason he doesn't have a job.
How do you feel about the Dynamo getting to start their season? I mean, I know that they're getting ready. Tab Ramos in his first year as a head coach for the soccer team.
I can't believe you think that's the coach's name. I'm just kidding. We need to go to counseling.
Tab Ramos.
I know.
When
I was listening to Glenn Davis when they first hired Tab Ramos, is it that or Tad?
Tab.
It sounded like, whatever. Shut up. Trey.
You still think it's a diet soda.
No, it sounded like he was saying Top Ramos. And I was like, is that like Top Ramen? Did they hire somebody that makes noodles to coach the Dynamo?
Can they bring some in?
It was like, he was saying it so fast, like Top Ramos. And I was like, Top Ramen?
You want some samples?
What? Bro, they got a noodle guy coaching the Dynamo. That can't be a good move. That just can't be a good move. But then I realized, I Googled it. And I was like,
he's a noodle guy. What's your boy Bill O'Brien?
No comment.
I mean, I gave you an open forum there.
Yeah, no comment.
I handed it off to you and just said all you had to do was run with it. So here it is.
Thanks, Kyle
Run
Shanahan.
The ball.
I'm already hated at Kirby. I don't need to fan the flames of hate.
First of all, there's no turning back at this point. You might as well just pile on. I mean, it's over.
I mean, well, yeah, they're definitely going to pull my credentials. Oh, that's right. They didn't give no one outside of 6'10 credentials.
But you do have season credentials for the Niners and the Falcons next year.
Well, you know, what you gonna do?
Hey, Nick, did we get the application for the credentials for the NBA draft this year?
I'm pretty sure we did. Why?
Because I want to make sure as a show we apply. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a good road trip.
I'm not justifying that with a comment at all.
Just having fun. That's all we're doing.
You get nothing from me, and you'll like it.
That's fine. Yeah. All right. So we've got basically 60 minutes on the clock, which means we'll have one more clip from Des White, our comedian of the week. If you've missed any of that, please make sure you catch up on it. But at 3:15, we'll run one more. We do have some more things that we can get to in the final hour of the show, including the All-Star Reserves, because I said we'd get to them at least. And we can talk about a few of the snubs that you and I and AJ and Nick and were discussing before the show, because they are out there as they are every year. And, of course, we always got a spot for you, the suspect, if you want to join the show. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. You call that number, you can text that number, you can hit us on Twitter. We'll be back with the final 60 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.